Will you turn back with me, please, to the latter passage we read, 2 Corinthians and chapter 1. The word translated comfort occurs 18 times in 2 Corinthians. This has led some to call it the epistle of comfort. It opens with the subject almost immediately at verse 3, where we read, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." And then our text this morning, verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." It might be thought, what has comfort to do with a church anniversary occasion? Well, I suggest that it has everything to do with it. For one thing, Paul writes these words to a church. And then secondly, the church needs divine comfort. It always has, and it always will. I don't know many of you here this morning, although I've had the privilege of meeting some, but I'm sure I'm right in saying there is not one person in this congregation this morning, or listening to me remotely, who has not some kind of burden or sorrow or trouble or fear, and therefore is in need of comfort. And so it is entirely relevant. And also, of course, the fact that you as a church, not you exactly, but you as a church have been here for 132 years is a testimony to the fact that the Lord has sustained his people over all that time, comforting them, strengthening them, helping them in every time of trouble, bringing them through and enabling them to hold on their way all the way to glory, as we hope also to do. So let us then look at this verse 4. What is meant by the word comfort here? Well, in the original, it means to call to one's side. Picture this. Here is a parent, and there is a little child a little way away playing, and then the child falls over, hurts itself, and is in distress. And the parent calls to the child, puts out their arms, and the child comes running, and then the arms go round that child, called to the side to comfort in distress. And that is essentially the picture, and we find this in the Lord himself and in the arms of his love. Psalm 41, verse 6, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble." Or Psalm 91, "Dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, abiding under the shadow of the Almighty," that close to God, comforted in his near presence. And you notice that Paul is not just teaching the subject of divine comfort as a mere subject, but he's testifying to it from his own experience in verse 4. "God who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." So this is something that is to be proved in experience, as Paul did, and as we may do also. So let us see then what he shares with us concerning divine comfort. And the first thing is this: we all need it. All our tribulation, any trouble. The word trouble is the same as the word tribulation in the original. And this word is an expressive one. It can refer to when things get on top of us unbearably. It means pressure. Our English word, tribulation, comes from the Latin tribulum, which was a heavy roller used in threshing corn. So weight and piercing and pain. And circumstances can be like that, can't they? They can weigh us down. What a heavy burden disappointment is, or the ache of loneliness. A sorrow can be crushing. Or when things are just too much to bear. In one verse later, chapter 1 here, and verse 8, the apostle speaks of coming into Asia, and we were pressed out of measure, above strength, so much, it was too much to bear. Things can be like that. And people can get on top of us as well, especially in the form of persecution. Our Lord speaks in the parable, Matthew 13, of the persecution that comes, tribulation and persecution for the word's sake. And John, in Revelation 1, verse 9, he says he's their brother and companion in tribulation. It's something that is to be suffered and borne, but it's not easy when people turn against you because you're a Christian, and people even say things to you or do things behind your back and make life very hard, maybe in your own home, from family members. You have to live with this kind of thing constantly, tribulation. It's from when things get on top of us. There may be some here, and you're very glad to come to church this morning to be with the people of God and hear the word and be graciously helped, and not at home where the telly is going and where there's ungodliness. I remember being like that myself, growing up in a non-Christian home, a good home, but not a Christian one. And the Lord's Day was a relief and a retreat to me. The pressure of unsympathetic family members. So not only on top of us, but at either side of us as well. The same word is used in Matthew 7, verse 14, where it speaks of narrow is the way. You can feel compressed and squeezed and trapped by a situation. Have you got a dilemma that you are in, that you don't know what decision to make, which way to go? Maybe you're caught in straits, like Israel at the Red Sea, the Egyptians coming from behind, wilderness and mountains either side, the Red Sea in front of you. You don't know which way to turn, and only the Lord can come in for you in such a situation as that. On either side, you're trapped and you're in need because of the tribulation that is happening. Or maybe it's just beyond that, all around us, all our tribulation, because we live in a fallen world, and there is sin, suffering, death, worry, insecurity, fear. There was no tribulation in paradise, and there will be no tribulation in the heaven to come. But here, our Lord says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, and through much tribulation we must enter the kingdom of God. Everybody is subject to it, but Christians, uniquely so, and often more so. Unbelievers are not tried like us, but they do not have the comfort we have either. So we all need it, dear friends. Let's see, secondly, that God will give it. Who comforteth us? The who refers back to verse 3, doesn't it? God, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us. And here is an expression of praise, a doxology, and it contains two titles for God. First, the Father of mercies. What a beautiful title that is, isn't it? Comforting in itself. It means that he gently pours his fatherly pity on us. Psalm 103, verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. My dear friend, he greets you each new day with this. Lamentations 3, it says, his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. In the morning when you wake up and perhaps you're depressed and it's a struggle to get out of bed and face the new day, what meets you? His compassions, new every morning. That's a good thing to go into the day with, isn't it? It's not your feelings, it's God's feelings towards you that count. Think of that, that you're embraced in the love of God. Those compassions that roll towards you and embrace you. The word compassions there is the same word as the maternal instinct of a mother. And therefore it's warm and it's precious and it can be known and felt. The Father of mercies. And then the God of all comfort means he has every comfort to give, every kind of comfort that fits each individual need of it. He is the originator, he's the source and the giver. And you can look to him for it. Now, the question is, how does God comfort us? How does he give it to us? Well, one thing is this, dear friends, and this is very important. He shows us that tribulation is from him. And that is an important thing to realize. Where does it come from? Whatever tribulation or trouble we might have, who is the one who gives it? And the answer is God. True, it is that people and circumstances and the devil play a part, but all under God. What is my scripture for that? Well, there's another doxology that Paul breaks out into in Romans 11, verse 36, where he speaks of God and he says, of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. All things are of him, including our tribulation and trouble. And that is a great comfort. Thomas Watson said, whoever brings an affliction, it is God that sends it. And that is the beginning of comfort. Because you see, we're not at the mercy of circumstances. We're not at the mercy of individuals. It's not the devil who's in charge here. It's God himself. He does not just allow things. He appoints all things, including the worst of things in life, that he might do us good by them, and that by them his own comfort might come with them, and that he will prove himself to be all that we need as the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. You never know God so well as when you need him most, and he's set this up in order that he might reveal himself to you and be everything to you that you need. Psalm 55 and verse 22, cast thy burden. And if you have a margin Bible, you'll see that against the word burden is gift. You see, God has given you your burden. It's from him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You see, he sends tribulation with one hand, and he supports you with the other hand, so that he's what you need him to be to you. And you've learned something about God. He's your God, and his love and his wisdom and his strength and his sufficiency, so that the tribulation coming from him, the Lord comes with it. And that is a great comfort. You see, if we don't believe this, who is the originator of our troubles? It's got to be the devil. But my dear friend, Almighty God has not ceded his sovereignty to the devil. God is in charge. God governs the world. And God governs the world of your little circumstances and mine as well. And that's our comfort. Whatever comes, the worst of it, God comes to us. That's the best of it. And we know him. God will give us the comfort. My dear friend, if things get worse and worse, you can expect that God will draw nearer and nearer, and you can know more of him. And isn't it true that in those worst times, as we look back upon them, don't we say, I knew the Lord in those times. I tasted his love. He held me up. Jesus became precious to me. The fellowship of his sufferings I tasted, and I have learned things I could never have learned in any other circumstance. That's one way in which he comforts us. And another way is this, that he does it personally. Who comforteth? As it is in Isaiah 51, verse 12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. So he draws attention to that individual, personal comfort he gives. How about Isaiah 66 and verse 13? This is exquisite. Like as a mother comforteth her children, so will I comfort you, says the Lord. And so he likens himself to a mother. You see, it comes back to his compassions, his womb, his maternal love, protectiveness, tenderness, gentleness, to soothe and comfort. As a mother comforteth her children, so will I comfort you. And ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. It's in the church, isn't it, where we get it? Under the preaching of the word, and in the praising of his name, and the fellowship with our brothers and sisters, and the blessedness of the means of grace. These things bring comfort to us in Jerusalem. And he does not only do it personally, the God who gives it to us, he uses means, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And it's the applicatory ministry of the Spirit bringing home to the heart the love of God and the strength of that love. In the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 6, when those pagans were converted, they received the word with much affliction, persecution, and with joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's the second that counts, you see. With much affliction, but joy in the Holy Ghost. And you get the impression, don't you, that the joy that the Spirit brought outweighed the affliction that was felt. And there are times when the Holy Spirit applies the word and comforts us that we forget, really, what's troubling us and what the affliction is. It's a most remarkable thing. You think of Paul and Silas in the church, in the prison rather, at Philippi. At midnight, their backs bleeding from the beating they had, and a cheerless, cold, probably dark, damp cell, legs apart in stocks most painfully. And at midnight, which you would have thought would be the lowest point to which they would have sunk, at midnight they prayed and they sang praises to God. Well, what's the explanation of that? It's surely the Holy Ghost, isn't it? That there can be a lifting up in spirit, and there can be such a strength of heart that is greater than the circumstances. And how you prove the Lord then? The Holy Spirit, and he'll apply the word. Psalm 119 and verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Ah, blessed word. Sometimes perhaps you're feeling a bit low, a bit troubled, and you pass the TBS Golden Thoughts calendar on the wall, if you've got one. If you haven't, I recommend it. And the verse for the day, and it's just a fragment of a verse, and the Lord sends it to the heart, and it speaks to your situation, and it's made a blessing to you. The Lord knows when to do that. You see, the Lord comforting us personally, he uses this means. And we can talk about another means as well. That's other people. In the second, this second letter, chapter 7 and verse 6, as Paul was waiting for news about this letter, the first letter that was sent to the Corinthians, and he was very troubled. You get that from the language, don't you? In verse 5, our flesh had no rest. We were troubled on every side. Without were fightings. Within were fears. You know that? A bit screwed up inside because you don't know what's coming, what news you'll hear, what the outcome of a certain thing will be. Verse 6. Nevertheless, God that comforteth us, or rather God that comforteth those that are cast down, comforted us by the coming of Titus, that good friend. And he brought good news from Corinth about the effect of the first letter. And sometimes, dear friends, it's like that, isn't it? Just when you need it most, you get an email from a dear friend with a scripture, perhaps, and a word of encouragement. And it's a message from God to you. Bless God for that individual. Or maybe you're down in the dumps and sitting in your chair and you get a knock on the door, or the doorbell rings and a dear Christian friend's on the doorstep just looking in, see how you are. And that was just the time that was needed. And you have some fellowship together. And God, by the coming of your Titus, has blessed you and comforted you. And so God will give it. Think of the benefit of our being in tribulation and trouble and God comforting us. What is the benefit? Well, it can form our character. In Romans 5, verse 3, tribulation worketh patience, meaning fortitude or perseverance, a steadfastness, carrying on despite how things are. It's character building, which is very important. And it only comes through learning from difficulty and discipline. And God, who sends the need of the comfort and then gives the comfort, is the God who then is bringing us to spiritual maturity and enabling us to grow up as his children. If you think about it on a human level, you think about this Remembrance Sunday and the World War II generation and what a character and quality there was about that post-war generation, wasn't there? They were dependable and they were principled and they were strong by and large. Why was that? Because they were exposed to danger and they were deprived. You think of the Blitz on London and the terrible devastation and the destruction, the loss of life, the danger, what people who survived went through, quite apart from those who fought in the war and so on. But there was something about them which we don't find today in this victim generation, where everybody is saying, poor me, and telling out their troubles and how I should be helped. But those people were different because the circumstances made them so. I remember, if I may be personal, I remember my dad. And he was in the last war in the Army Catering Corps. And when he was demobbed, what he got was, as some of you know, a demob suit and £50. And that's all he had in this world. By then, he'd married my mother and I was a baby. And there they were in the village of Woolacombe in North Devon with just that. No work, nowhere to go. What were they going to do? No welfare state, possibility of the workhouse. My dad said, we're not going to spend a penny of that £50. We're going to keep that. And they went from hotel to hotel in Woolacombe, applying for jobs. My dad finally got a job as a chef in one of the hotels. A mum got a job as a chambermaid. And so they had a live-in situation where they could earn money, get themselves established, and bring me up a bit. And finally, another job came and so on. But you see, there was that quality about it. And I honor my dad for that. So different, sadly, from these days. But much more so as Christians, the Lord builds that into us and guides us, provides for us, and we prove him in such dire need. General Douglas MacArthur, the commander of the Pacific US forces in the last war, there is on record a prayer he made for his son, Arthur. Lead him, I pray, not in the path of ease, but under the stress and spur of difficulties and challenge. Here let him learn to stand up in the storm. Here let him learn compassion for those who fail. And it's that spirit. Tribulation worketh patience. And it makes us exercised Christians who know what it is to pray and to trust and to follow God and to prove his great faithfulness. And so God will give this comfort, and he will give so much more besides to us. And then thirdly and lastly, not only that we all need it and that God will give it, but we can share it. You notice how the verse goes on, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And not being the only ones, we shall find there are others. Others all around us in the local church and farther afield. Them which are in any trouble. And you see, we are sadly, naturally selfish. And if we feel that things are fairly well with us, that can be enough. We sometimes perhaps get impatient with others in trouble, especially this question of depression, how little this is understood. I hope no one here thinks that Christians should never be depressed and that there's a spiritual problem behind it if they are. But some Christians are like that and say that they should, depressed people should pull themselves together and get up and get going and get a grip of things. Ah, it's not as easy as that. But you see, what the Lord does is he brings us tribulation and trouble and then brings us to that place where we need him so much and where we prove him. And then we're qualified to sympathize with others and comfort them in turn with the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And we can share what we have received so that we may be able to comfort them. As it says in Isaiah 50, verse 4, a word in season to him that is weary. There is nothing like being there ourselves and having proved the Lord, like Paul here, to be able to speak from experience. It comes with extra authority and value. It was said that the composer, Sir Edward Elgar, once listened to a young girl singing a solo from one of his own works. She had a voice of exceptional purity and clarity and range and an almost perfect technique. When she had finished, Sir Edward turned to the person next to him and said softly, "She will be really great when something happens to break her heart. Then she will sing." And you see, we are really blessed to others when things happen to break our hearts and the Lord heals them and strengthens them. And then we feelingly can be a blessing to others. Not one of us here would want to be the kind of Christian to whom others don't feel they can approach and unburden themselves, because they think that we wouldn't understand or couldn't enter into what you're going through. And so the Lord, therefore, deals with us like this. And this is how in the church we bear one another's burdens and care for one another in a feeling way. The writer J.M. Barrie of Peter Pan fame tells how his mother lost her favorite son, David. And then he writes, "That is where my mother got her soft face. And that is why other mothers ran to her charity when they had lost a child." Ah, soft face. You felt bereavement. You felt the great pain and ache and loss and a softness, approachableness. You see, that we may be able to comfort them. And so the Lord does this. We all need it, dear friends, this comfort. God will give it, and we can share it. And therefore, we're all the better for it. And God is glorified. The church is brought closer and closer. The bonds of love go deeper and deeper. And the Lord has all the praise. May it be so, for his name's sake. Amen.